Amen. Psalms chapter 139 and verse 8. David said, If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Psalms 139 and verse 8. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Proverbs 18 and verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be full. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Amen. I'm going to try to tie these two together and try to make some sense out of it, if the Lord will help me. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the good spirit that we're made to feel here tonight. We ask that you'll just come by in a mighty way, minister tonight to the needs that are in this building tonight. God, I'm thankful for what you've already done, the good spirit that we're made to feel here tonight. God, we love you. You're such a gracious, wonderful Savior, and we love you tonight. We ask that you would speak to every heart, that you would minister to every soul under the sound of my voice tonight, in Jesus' holy and wonderful name. Amen. Won't you turn around and shake two people's hands, smile at them real big, and welcome them to the house of the Lord. Could you do that tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. David said, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell. How many of you ever made a bed in your lifetime? We better move on right there. But I want to preach simply tonight, you're making your own bed. Amen. You're making your own bed. David said in Proverbs 18 and verse 20, death and life are in the power of the tongue. One quote puts it like this. I do not know who said this, but I'll give some whoever it is credit if I knew who it was. It said, they themselves are the makers of themselves. Another man said, what is in the well of the mouth comes forth into, or what is in the well of the heart comes forth into the bucket of the mouth. In other words, what we have in here is going to come out. Amen. Now, I want to just say this up front. What I'm getting ready to preach to you tonight is a biblical truth. And I'm not going to let the devil, the enemy tried to beat me up yesterday. In fact, I've had this message for just a little while, and the enemy's just trying to beat me up with it and trying to say, well, that's just pushing the limit and that's just a little charismatic. But I'm telling you, I refuse to let a bunch of charismatics rob me of biblical truth. Amen. Will you agree with me tonight that we do not need to allow any denomination or anybody to rob us, Brother Donovan, of a biblical truth? Hebrews 11 and 3 said that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which do not appear, amen, that they were made with things that do not appear, the things that are, that you see right now. We quoted just a little while ago, and in a lot of ways, as I begin to study this and try to put it out here tonight, I begin to think about how that we are framing our own world, if you will, by the words that we say. Let me explain it to you for just a little bit. Somebody said, I want to be married to the sweetest lady in the world. How many of you men would like to be married to the sweetest lady in the world? Hallelujah. Then you've got to talk to her like she's the sweetest lady in the world. How many of you women would like to be married to Prince Charming? Woo! Glory to God. I want to say tonight that if you want to be married to Prince Charming, you need to talk to him like he's Prince Charming. Because in certain ways, and I can't explain it all to you in this little 2-hour message tonight, but in a lot of ways, we are framing our own world. Amen. We're framing. Hey, and now listen, this ain't Zig Ziglar, and this ain't Norman Vincent Peale, the power of positive thinking. Hey, amen. I'm preaching to you tonight that the Word of God said that there is death and there is life in the power of your tongue. Hey, amen. They didn't write that. God wrote it in His Bible. And He said that you are going to create, hey, amen, your children. Praise the Lord. They're going to be a product of the world that you frame around them. Hey, amen. Your home, hey, amen, is going to be created with the words, hey, amen, that you frame them out of. Come on now. Help me preach a little while. I got news for you. This church is going to be framed, and we're going to be made by the words that comes out of our mouths. Amen. I wish somebody helped me just a little while. Amen. The Bible said in the book of Revelation, He said that evil spirits came out of the mouth of the false prophet. I'm telling you, I do not want to let my mouth be an entrance of evil spirits. Amen. I don't want my mouth, amen, to be an entrance to where I sit around and talk negative all the time. Amen. Sit around and talk bad all the time. I'm telling you, we got to smile every now and then. Hallelujah. We got to rejoice every now and then. Praise the Lord. As the old man said, we can't cry all the time. Woo, boy. Amen. I thought my voice was going to be better. You pray for me tonight. Matthew 12:37, He said, by thy words thou shalt be justified. And I'm going to throw more Bible at you tonight, and you're going to know what to do with it. So don't leave here saying, well, that's just Brother Buchanan's opinion. By your words, you're going to be justified. And by your words, you're going to be condemned. In the book of Numbers 13, amen, the 10 spies were sent. You know the story. 8 of them came back. They said the people be strong in the city. They said the cities are walled. They said we are not able to go up against them. Amen. They said they are stronger than we are. They said they are giants and we are like grasshoppers in their sight. But old Caleb stood up on a stump in verse 30 and he said, let us go up at once. We are able. Amen. We're able. Praise God. I'm telling you, we got one man that says, I can't. And we got another and says, I can. Both men are right. I said both men are right because the power of life and death is in their tongue. Amen. Hebrews 3:19, He said, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They could not enter in because of what come out of their mouth. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, amen, if you make your bed there, praise God, you're going to lay there. Hallelujah. I'm telling you by your words tonight, you are making your own bed. Amen. He said, if I make my bed in hell. Amen. If you frame it up, if you put the 2x4s in the walls, and you're all the time sitting around saying, I can't. I'm telling you, brother, you're going to talk yourself out of victory. You're going to talk yourself out of revival. You're going to talk yourself out of a move of God. But I come to tell somebody today, amen, you're making your own bed by the words that's coming out of your mouth. There's life and death in the power of your tongue. David said mischief is under their tongue in Psalms 10:7. Hosea 7:16, He said, princes fall by the rage of their tongue. Proverbs 19 and 14, David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm telling you, you know what we need to do sometimes? I'm guilty of it. I said I'm guilty of it. We need a good old fashioned, amen, washing our mouth out. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. I said we need to wash our mouth out. Praise the Lord all the time. Amen. Walking around with our head down. Amen. Brother, I'm telling you what you need somebody to do tonight. Amen. Is to come up beside you and say, yes, you can. Praise the Lord. We can make it. Hallelujah. I believe that's what the Lord was trying to show us around the service this morning. Amen. I ain't give up on you. Don't you give up on yourself. Come to preach to somebody today. Don't make your bed there. Amen. My God of heaven. But I'm preaching to you right now that there is life and there is death in the power of your tongue. Amen. Esau. Y'all know Esau. I'm going to skim through this tonight. He had the position and he had the possession of the firstborn. And he had the position of the birthright. But in Genesis 25 and 32, and Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. Boy, he must have went, the deer must have really been running that day. Hey man, he was hunting all day and never caught anything. Walked out of the woods and there's that little brother making some soup. And he said, I am at the point of death. What profit shall this birthright do to me? He did not value his possession. And he made his bed. And brother, he had to sleep in it. I said he made his bed. A lot of times we think Jacob was conniving. But I'm telling you, a long time before Jacob ever took skin and put it on his arms and deceived Esau. Esau gave that birthright up a long time ago. Amen. Because of the words that came out of his mouth. Amen. Oh, I want to help somebody tonight if the Lord will help us. Amen. Philippians 4 and 13. Paul said, I can. Woo! We could stop there and call recess. If y'all wanted to, we could stop right there and call recess. Amen. Call somebody back to the piano. Amen. We could shout a while. Amen. Because Paul said, I can. That's the words that came out of his mouth. Amen. I can. While they're beating him. Amen. In shipwreck. Amen. He's hungry. In perils of robbers. In perils of his own countrymen. Amen. In perils at the sea. And on Paul could go. But he was able to write. In Philippians 4 and 13. He started out by saying, I can. Amen. Oh, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Praise the Lord. Can you have revival in 2012? I can. Glory to God. Can you pray like them old timers used to pray? I can. Come on, that's what we need. We need some of that spirit to rub off on you tonight. Amen. That'll get in the bosom of your soul. That'll make you stand up tonight and say, I may not be big, but I can. I may be a little David, but I can. Thank God I may not be big in stature, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Hallelujah. Well, I got somewheres to go. I'm hurrying here. Proverbs 21 and 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Now some of y'all are looking at me in such a way that you might want to get a pencil and paper and write these scriptures down. Amen. Because I'm not preaching to you Zig Ziglar and Norman Vincent Peale. I'm preaching to you the word of God. And God said if you'll keep your mouth, you'll keep your soul from trouble. Hallelujah. If you keep your mouth and his tongue, he'll keep his soul out of a lot of trouble. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 3 and 10, for he that will love life. That's me. I want to do that. Don't you? If you will love life and see good days. That's me. I want that. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I don't believe that needs much commentary, does it? But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Amen. I'm telling you, I've preached it before. And just the other day, I preached about the speech of Ashdod. That if your hearing is not right, your speaking will not be right. Amen. The things that you hear are going to affect what you say. And if your hearing is not right, you're going to have a speech impediment, if you will. You're not going to speak right if you're not hearing right. Amen. The Bible said in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. I'm telling you tonight, even when I cannot see God, oh, don't let me get to the place that I cannot hear God. Amen. When I look around in blindness and I can't see God in the circumstance, don't ever let me get to the place that I cannot hear his sweet voice through the preacher. Amen. Through the singers and through the testimony of the redeemed. I'm telling you, brother, there's times you may not be able to see God, but put your ear to the ground, brother. He's a talking. Can you hear? Hear him! 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. It's almost a picture of a man that's blind and we walk by faith. But where's that faith come from? Here in the Word of God. So if I cannot see my way clear, God help me to hear my way clear. I want to preach to somebody tonight. I'm skipping through this because I really feel a push to this altar tonight. I really do. Amen. I want God to help us around this altar tonight. That when I cannot see my way clear, amen, let me hear my way. Can you hear the voice of God? Can you hear him speaking to you? Revelation 2:17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Now we know that we walk by faith and not sight. Can you lift your hand if you know that scripture was in the Bible? We walk by faith and we do not walk by sight. But let me ask you something. What do we have to have present in order for us to have sight? We've got to have the presence of light. Amen. When it's dark and when it's pitch dark, or if you're walking around with your eyes closed, you do not see. But brother, I want to tell you something. The light that you need, amen, it does not come through the eyes. It comes through your ears. Hallelujah. I said the light that you need. Amen. I'm preaching about you're making your own bed by what you're hearing. Amen. That's why you don't need to be listening to Conway Twitty. That's why you don't need to be listening. Amen to Hank Williams and a tear up in your beer. Come on now. I'm telling you, that's why you ain't got no business listening to country music. Amen. Come on now. Help me just a little while. Because your hearing is going to affect your talking. Oh, God, help me right here. Preach a little while. The light that we need, it does not come to the eyes. It comes to your ears. You say, now that's just ridiculous. Brother Allen, you got a Bible? Turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 119, real quick. Amen. I'm going to prove to you tonight that the light that you need is not going to be through your eyes. That's where we get tripped up. If we can't see it, we're not going to believe it. Amen. If we cannot see it, don't expect me to believe it. But I'm telling you, brother, we need some light in our ears. Read verses 105 for me, if you will, brother. Amen. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 105. Stand up and read it real loud. What? Now wait, what'd you say? The word, thy word, it's a lamp. Wait a minute. A lamp. When's the time you ever told your boy, hey son, go out in the woodshed and it's dark and you hand him a book off the library shelf? Huh? Hey, we need a hammer out of the barn out there. Go get it. What's this? It's a lamp. No, Dad, that's a book. Read on, brother. Yes. Keep on. And a light unto my path. The word, thy word. It's a lamp unto my feet. Now you can't see that, but you hear the word. Hey man, come on now. I'm preaching to you tonight that you're making your bed by the words that comes out of your mouth. Hey man, and what you get in your ears is going to come out of your mouth. Hey man, the word as a lamp, it will lead you and the word will guide you. Hey man, in the all truth, he said, if I make my bed in hell, you know what David was saying? If I create a world in the very pit of hell. Amen, God, you're there. And brother, I'm telling you, you have the ability tonight to make your own bed. You have the ability by your mouth and by your heart and what you hear and let come in through your ears. Amen, to create a world that will give you life or it will give you death. Can somebody say amen? Matthew 4:4. I'm going to leave that alone. I may come back to that in a few months. Amen. Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I'm glad he didn't say every word that proceeds. Amen. Or that, use it in a singular word. But he said proceedeth. He put the ETH at the end of it. A continual. Every word. Amen. That proceedeth out. Amen. Of the mouth of God. I'm telling you, you need to be able to hear the voice of God. Am I making any sense to anybody tonight? Do you remember when God told Abraham, take thy son, the only son Isaac, and take him to Mount Moriah? Amen. And there I want you to offer him a sacrifice. Well, Abraham headed out. But I'm glad Abraham was able to hear the voice of God. Had Abraham not stayed in touch with God, he would have killed something that God would have let him kept. Amen. If he had not been able to hear the voice of God, he would have killed his son on that mountain. But brother, because his heart was right, God said, do the lad no harm. Oh, I thought about it today. I wonder what would have happened if Abraham and Sarah would have argued all the way up the mountain. I wonder what would have happened if Abraham would have had to get that nagging woman off his heels and said, you, hey man, you nagging woman, you, hey man, the best thing you can do is go back and live with your mama. Hey man, and kicked her out. And they had a great big argument on the way up the mountain, and God's are trying to talk him. Oh, but Abraham couldn't have hurt him. He would have killed something that he would have been able to keep. I'm telling you, brother, that's why we've got to be sensitive to the voice of God. How many things have we killed all because we could not hear God say, stop? You know why? Because we're so busy creating our own little world. Brother Allen testified about it a little while ago. We're busy creating our own little world. Amen. A world that we don't want no interruptions. A world that we don't want no, amen, we want it just to go our way. We want things to be smooth and we'll serve God as long as he doesn't promise that there's going to be any bumps in the road and there's not going to be no hills to climb and no sacrifices to be made. But I feel like preaching to somebody tonight, you're making your own bed. Amen. With the words that's coming out of your mouth. Amen. What you need to do, amen, is grab a hold of those those two words, I can. Praise the Lord. Now you say, Brother Buchanan, that's just silly. Hey man, that's why. I said, that's why you're creating a world of defeat. Because you say just that simple. You better believe it. Hey man, out of your mouth, there is a power of death and life that's in your mouth tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to skip through this. Mark 10. We find the story. Hey, man, of blind Bartimaeus. You remember him, don't you? I wondered why was Bartimaeus blind? Brother, there's times in life that God allows us to go through some blindness. Hey, man, some times that we're not able to see what God's a doing. Seasons, if you will, of blindness. Times that we cannot see what God is doing. Amen. When the Bible, it doesn't seem like this is the character of God, and on we could go. But the blindness of Bartimaeus left him stranded on life's highway. The blindness of Bartimaeus had him dependent on everybody else. Amen. Anywhere he went, he needed somebody. His blindness put him in a place that he did not want to be in. Bear with me for just a few more minutes. Let me read this story to you. Mark 10, 47. And when he heard, oh, I'm glad. Hey, man, even though he was blind, he could still hear. Amen. I'm glad that even though he was blind, he still had the ability to see. Praise the Lord. With his ears. Amen. The word of God. Amen. Somebody began to talk to him about this lonely Nazarene. Somebody began to tell blind Bartimaeus about Jesus. And the Bible said, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and to say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee. He heard of Jesus. Business always picks up when Jesus comes to town. Things always get to happening when Jesus shows up. Amen. And the Bible said that when he heard it was Jesus, he began to cry out. That word cry out in your Strong's dictionary means, amen, to croak as a raven. It means to scream or to call aloud and shriek. Amen. That's what Bartimaeus did. He wouldn't fit in a lot of churches today. He wouldn't fit in holiness churches today, because we got holiness churches that's dead at 4 o'clock. Amen. You get somebody hollering the name of Jesus out. Amen. And they're going to get to looking around like, now we don't act that way no more. Amen. Woo! But I'm telling you, brother, when you're on life's highway and you're blind and all you can see is with your ears, and you've been hearing there's a man that has the ability to open your blinded eyes, and you've been put in a place you ain't never really wanted to be, and Jesus comes passing by, say, how would you act? The crowd is there. Jesus. No, that's too loud for some. Jesus. How would you act if it was you and your need? I'm telling you what the Bible said he did. The Bible said that he screamed. Amen. Like a raven. Amen. He cried aloud. And he began to say, Jesus, thou son of David. David, have mercy upon me. And the Bible said in verse 48, many charged him he should hold his peace. Amen. But Bartimaeus would say to him, I'm tired of making my bed in darkness. Amen. I'm tired of having somebody having to depend on other people all the time. Amen. Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy upon me. And the Bible said that he cried out the more. Amen. Until he got Jesus' attention. He cried until, amen, Jesus stopped right where he was at. I'm telling you, that's exactly what some of you need to do today. Amen, is make your bed right there. Make your bed with the words coming out of your heart. I'm tired of being here. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. I'm tired of being blind. I'm tired of depending on everybody else. And you begin to cry and scream it if you've got to, but do it until he stops. Hallelujah. I'm going to hurt some of y'all here in a minute. It's going to save you though. If you'll let it, it'll save you. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! I hurt myself putting this message together. He cried out. Hold your peace. Hush, be quiet. You're interrupting church, man. You ever felt like that? You're I can hear sometimes what people don't say. I've heard people say, my goodness, they got to be down there praying again. I can hear what people say. Why are we singing another one? It's time to go to the house. It's 8:30 and ain't nothing happened. Amen. Glory to God. It's time to wind her down. Amen. Oh, it's time for somebody to get hold of God. Amen. This could be the last service you're in on this side of eternity. Amen. You need to quit worrying about what other people are saying and thinking about you. I'd scream right in their face. I'd scream right in their ear. Come on now. Hallelujah. I want to tell you right now. I want to tell you something right now. Praise the Lord. If the person beside you cuts their eye at you when you start saying, Jesus, get you some another seat. I dare some of you to get up here on the front. I dare you. I double dog dare you. My spit wipes off. Praise the Lord. Ask Brother Dudson and them up here. You can wipe it off. Amen. We do provide towels with our showers. Amen. I'm telling you, brother, if I had to sit beside somebody, amen, that didn't like it when I worshiped the Lord, amen, I'd find me somewhere else, because we've all been there. I said we've all been there in that spiritual darkness when we couldn't tell what God's up doing, and what we needed to do was say, devil, I'm going to make my bed right here, and the power of life and death is in your tongue, and there ain't no better word to say. Amen. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Now, first they told him to shut up. And these three principles I'm going to give you, skip through this and give you, and then we're going to go to the house. Amen. Three little principles out of this that I saw the other day. Amen. In verse 49, I believe it is, yes. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Where's that man hollering at me? Where's the one that's been? I'm telling you, who didn't get their healing that day is that prim and proper crowd that sat there with their soup spoon and their steak knife and a little napkin over here. And we're going to have church. Hallelujah. They're the ones that went home sick. They're the ones that went home, Brother Donovan, and didn't get nothing. Woo! But that old boy that was sitting over there, hey man, he had that old ugly garment. You know garments mean something. Boy, I'm gonna get on a side track. Garments meant something in that day. They were beggar garments. They was garments of war. The priestly garments. This old boy had an old garment on that was a beggar garment. Probably hadn't been washed in months and months, and it stank. His teeth, no doubt, was black. Amen. And he just got awful ugly. I can imagine in my mind. Amen. And somebody said, who's Jesus calling for? He's calling for that old ugly boy that's standing over there saying, Jesus, the Son of David. Hey! You mean he wants him? What in the world does he want? All of this educated crowd, he passed them. Oh, you listen. The Bible said that the Word of God came to John. Where did it find him at? Out there in the wilderness. The Holy Ghost done something that it had never done. It bypassed the priesthood. It bypassed the temple. It bypassed the tabernacle. And it went out into a wilderness of an old man. Amen. A yanking down on a locust. Amen. Honey dripping off his beard. And he ain't got but one old message. Repent. Amen. He didn't have a college degree. Amen. He didn't have no DD behind his name. But Brother God said, that's a man I can use. And brother, I'm telling you, God's are looking for somebody tonight that he can use. And God's are looking for somebody that'll make their bed right there and say, I don't care how I look. I don't care what they say about me. I don't care what they think about me. Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy upon me. I need God to help me tonight. Who in the world is he calling? He's calling that crazy man that's screaming back here. Something wrong with his eyes. Look at him. He don't look normal. Finally, hey man, the committee gets back to where he's at. They said, you know, like there's something now. You know, hey, y'all. Y'all step back. But they did say three things that was pretty good. It's made for good preaching here. They said, be of good comfort. Yeah, read your Bible. That's what they said. Some of you look at me like you don't believe it. I'm going to read it to you. And they call the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort. Yep, just like I said. Be of good comfort. Everyday Albemarle language, he'd say, hey, blind man, cheer up. It sounds like he's the happiest man in the crowd already. Amen. But here they are saying, now, you need to cheer up. You know, like them old preachers, them dead as 4 o'clock. They won't help nobody. Won't help nobody preach. Sit there and bounce babies on their knees and flip through song books while other preachers are preaching their guts out. And they'll just sit there. But when they get up there and preach, they say, well, y'all ain't helping me none. Come on, somebody say amen. I don't do it because I ain't geared that way. I help them. But I want to just sit down on them and just wave at them every now and then. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you something right now, brother. This thing ain't about me. And it ain't about me preaching. It ain't about Brother Scott teaching and preaching. And Brother Derek preaching. And Brother Brian. Or Brother Donovan. Brother Chad. Amen. Or nobody else. It ain't about Brother Buzz. Amen. It ain't about you. Amen. It's about one thing. Amen. Getting crippled people to Jesus. Getting people that need the Lord into the presence of the Lord. That's what it's all about. Amen. And they finally came to him and they said, be of good cheer. In everyday Albemarle language, they'd just say, cheer up. Get glad. That's good preaching. I'm going to pause right here and give you a chance to catch up. While you're catching up, I want to tell you something. There's a right way to come to church. Amen. I'm going to hurt us all right here. There is a right attitude to come to church. There is a right frame of mind to come to church. But I'm telling you, if there is a right way to come to church, then there must also be a wrong way to come to church. Hallelujah. Lord, help me right here. Hallelujah. Psalms 122 and verse 1. David said, I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now notice, they're not there yet. They're not here in the choir yet. But David's getting all giddy over the possibilities of what's going to happen when he gets at church. Not church, I mean, ain't even there yet. But he said, I was glad when they said unto me, praise the Lord. I got happy over the possibility of what God could do. Not what he would do, but what he could do at the house of the Lord. I told you this morning, you can get saved at church, at home, and you can go and get the Holy Ghost in your car. But brother, the most of what God does, he does it in the church. He does it, amen, while the saints of God are worshiping him. And I'm telling you that we should anticipate. I said we should anticipate. Amen. I wonder what is the Holy Ghost gonna do tonight. I'm talking about coming to church with an expectation. That's the right way to come to church. I said that is the right way to come to church. Let me ask you something. What kind of service would we have if when your car wheels pulled into the gravel out there and you open the door saying, hallelujah, glory to God, what's God going to do tonight? I'll pause right there and let you think about that for just a minute. What kind of service would we have, Brother Derek, if all of us, I don't know how many we got coming here, but I wonder if you get your kids in that frame of mind. That when you pull up in the driveway and when your feet step out on the parking lot of the church house, amen, that you're saying, I wonder what God's going to do tonight. I was glad when they said unto me, amen, shouting over the possibilities of what could happen. Like the lame man that sat at the gate and when he looked at Peter, he was expecting to receive. I wonder, amen, what kind of world are we creating? What kind of bed are we making tonight when we walk in all burdened down and we never one time say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. You gave me life and the ability to be here. Amen. Be of good comfort. Get glad. Woo! Cheer up, my brother. Cheer up, my sister. Give the world a smile each day. Helping someone along life's way. Hey, man, I don't know the rest, but you know what I'm talking about. Give the world a smile. Praise the Lord. It's legal to smile at the house of God. It's legal, amen, to get happy over the possibilities of what God could do. I'm almost through tonight. Joshua chapter 6. You know the story. God said, I'm going to knock them walls down for you, Joshua. 6 days, I want you to march around the walls one time. The seventh day, I want you to march around the walls 7 times. And on the 7th time, I want the people to put the trumpet to their mouth. Let's read, amen, on that final time. Amen, Joshua 6:5. And it shall come to pass that, he told them the trumpeter's going to get the trumpet, they're going to blow it. And all the people shall shout with a great shout. Now, Brother Buchanan, you don't understand. Now, we're wholeness people. Wholeness churches. Now, I know. I hear you. I hear you. That's why churches across the country, just because they got a little bit of standard, they're dead as 4 o'clock. I went to preach one time for a church that had fire in their name. That's all I'm going to say. Fire. I'm just a young evangelist. I thought, man, I'm telling you, brother, we're going to have a time. We got in there, and it was worse than the bad. I've heard Baptist people, amen, had more life in them. Praise the Lord. And I come to tell you tonight, just because we've got a standard does not mean that we've got to let this charismatic world rob us of biblical truths. I'm telling you, it's in the Word of God, and the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall. Now wait a minute. Shall fall down. It's going to happen. Now Brother Buchanan, you want me to shout over something that ain't happened yet? Absolutely. You're getting a picture now. I said, you're getting a picture now. Amen. There is the power of life and death in your tongue and in your mouth. Amen. Most homeless folks, they say, well, I tell you what, when that wall falls, I'm going to shout. I heard a man say one time, when God does it, boys, you better not be in a mile away from me. You better not be in a mile with me when God does it. Yeah, that's what we're doing, ain't we? You're just waiting there, sitting here waiting on God to do it. That ain't the biblical truth that I want to preach to you tonight. He said, you shout, and the wall shall fall. Well, they just get all your emotions involved in all that shouting stuff. Yeah, that's why we're just going to keep going on the way we're going, just never getting nowhere with God. But I'm telling you, this is something the Holy Ghost dealt with my heart about. You can take it or you can leave it. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes we've got to get excited over the possibilities of what God can do. Quit sitting around and saying, well, when God does it, then. No. We say God has the possibility of doing it. And we need to get happy about it and glorify God and praise Him. I'm excited. Because why? He gave me a promise. I'm going to worship the Lord because of the promise. Amen. The promise that the wall's going to fall. The promise, amen, that God, I'm telling you what we need to do right now. Amen. We need to go ahead and worship God and thank God for saving brother, amen, brother Donnie. Amen. For saving, amen, Cassandra, and for saving Lisa. Amen. And James, and on the backsliders out of this church. I'm telling you, that's what we need to do. Amen. Is go ahead and thank Him for doing it. What are you saying, brother? I'm saying, and we got the power, amen, to make our bed right there and say, God, we're going to live in a world of faith for saving our backsliders. We give you glory and we give you honor. Psalms 100 and verse 4. This hurt me. It's going to hurt you. I promise you. It hurt me. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. The right way to come to church would be every time you walk through this door. Thank you, Lord, for saving backsliders tonight. Thank you, Lord, for filling my brother with the Holy Ghost tonight. Thank you, Lord, for healing Sister Carr tonight. Thank you. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Now, I got to say to you, I've not always done that. There's been times I barely could drag my way into church. There's been times I didn't feel like them preachers screaming at me, hollering at me, telling me you need to worship God, you need to lift your hands and praise the Lord. But I've come to preach to you tonight. You're making your own bed. And some of you mamas and some of you daddies are creating a world in your children. I promise you, you're not going to want to see when they get older. Amen. Listen, the spiritual responsibility of your child should not be laid at the feet of any other sister in this church than you. You hear me? Come on. God didn't give you children to cause you to backslide. Now take care of them. But I'm telling you, there's going to come a time, amen, when you're going to have to lay them children down, put them kids aside, and you're going to have to get in this altar, and you're going to have to get help. Amen. God didn't give you children to back. And I'm telling you, your children need to be looking at you, mama, and they need to be looking at you, daddy, amen, as their spiritual hero in their life. Amen. As somebody that say, when I get older, I'm going to act like that. Amen. When I get a little age on me and I get to worship in the Lord, I want to act that way. Come on now. I'm telling you, we could change the atmosphere of this church every service if we entered into his gates with thanksgiving. You got something you want to see the Lord do when you walk through the church house door? Thank you, Lord, for doing it. Oh, I'm going to wait for the Lord to do it. No, I promise you, when the Lord does do it, 2 weeks you'll forget about it. And you're going to be in the same place you're in now. But if you'll go ahead and make this right here a part of the fiber of your being, that says, this is where I'm going to make my bed. I'm going to create this. Amen. Hallelujah. There's power. You can build people up and you can tear people down with your words. The Bible teaches us that your tongue is one of the most powerful members you have. You hear me? But we are so used to walking in defeat. We beat ourselves down so much. I'm telling you, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. It shouldn't take 45 minutes of singing to get a grunt out of you. Amen. It shouldn't take an hour of preaching to get a grunt out of you. Amen. You need to enter in that way. Amen. I'm not being mean. I'm preaching to myself tonight. There's been many a time we've all been there. But I've come to report to you tonight. With your own words, some way, somehow, you're framing. Amen. Listen, if you go home and you have a bad day of work, and you bust through the door, stupid looking house ain't clean. What in the world? Why ain't supper done? You know, sometimes you ain't got to say nothing. It's that look. You know, it's hard for me to look mean because I just. You can just walk in with a look. They could have been joy in the house. I've seen men that had the ability to zap every bit of joy out of a household just by stepping through the front door. And then the cheers and the laughter. And then that wife, what does she do? Whether she does one or two things, she either just sits there like a mouse and takes it, or she lashes back, which is natural. And you know what you're hearing, sir? You're hearing the echoes of a world that you've created yourself by the words that come out of your mouth. You want to be married to the sweetest lady in the world? Treat her like she's one. Talk to her like she is. You want to be married to Prince Charming? Talk to him like he's Prince Charming. Hallelujah. That old boy might surprise you. He might turn out to be Prince Charming. God may have given you the ability as a wife, amen, without unbeknownst to you. Amen. I really believe this. I don't know why I'm saying this, but a wife has the ability to make her husband the best that he is. Or she can tear him down to where he doesn't feel like he is worth nothing. And the sad thing is, some of you women don't realize the potential that you have just by what comes out of your mouth. Amen. I can take the Bible and prove to you tonight. One thing that a man needs more than anything else is respect. Amen. And when he doesn't have that, he starts lashing out, and that old Adamic nature is going to come out, and that role is going to be so changed, it's going to be so twisted, that it's going to create a world in your household that I promise you it's not going to be peaceable, and it's not going to be lovely. But I wonder tonight, while you're standing with me, could you listen real quietly? And could you hear the echoes of a world that you've created? Amen. Amen. Obed-Edom invited the Lord, invited God into his house. Obed-Edom said yes to the Ark of the Covenant, which was a sign of the presence of God. And because of that, the Bible said that God blessed Obed-Edom generation after generation after generation after generation. All because he said, I'm going to invite God in my home. Little things. Little things like what was brought out in the Sunday school this morning. Little things through the Word of God that you just look and say, man, I didn't realize that was there, but it's there. And it's truth. If all you want to stake your claim on is hair, makeup, and jewelry, then you go right ahead. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a whole lot deeper and a whole lot wider field than just what standard somebody can look at you and see. Amen. This thing is the way you walk. It's the way you work, what people think about you, the attitudes that we have, and on and on and on we could go. Amen. I don't know about you. I want to hear the echoes of my children when I get older. I want to hear a world that I framed with good words. Amen. Good words. We've all failed. We fail miserably. But I've told you this morning, the good thing about failure is it's not final with the Lord. Amen. Sister Misty, if you could come to the piano this evening. I've obeyed the Lord. Feel like I could leave here. I know it's been a little different. I feel like I've been scattered. But I feel like I've obeyed the Lord tonight. That you're making your own bed. And when I say that, I'm saying that you're creating atmospheres. You're creating worlds in your children where you work, in your home. And you've got the ability, amen, to create a world with your mouth that's going to be peaceable. Or like David said, you have the ability to create a world that's going to end you up in hell. Amen. Hallelujah.